My services as an interior designer, I feel they went from being a luxury to a necessity like overnight, which is really interesting because typically I feel interior designers are looked at as providing, you know, like a very high-end luxury service. Like people won't engage with an interior designer unless they have, you know, a huge scope of work and like the means to do so. But I find that you're, you know, more like mid-range home buyers, they are looking to the help of professionals because they know that their homes have to accommodate, you know, working from home and teaching their children potentially.
So today on C-Level, I have Karen Aspria from Karen Aspria Studios. We're going to be talking about some interior designing, but Karen, welcome.
Hi, Chris. It's so nice to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So you're in New York right now, huh?
Yes, I am in New York. It's the first sunny day here, so I'm very happy.
Getting out of that 3 feet of snow that we've had this year up there, huh?
Oh my goodness. There was more snow this winter than I could remember. Like recently, we really have not had this much snowy weather. So I'm very happy today. The sun is shining. It's 60 degrees. I've got my white jacket on. Very, very happy to be here today.
That's awesome. I mean, and obviously that, you know, that makes sense. Being a designer, you're already coordinating your clothes with the seasons and everything like that. Good telltale sign of a good designer. They're even changing their clothes when the weather changes out.
Yes, I change my clothes when the weather changes. I, you know, I like to match my surroundings. It's all part of our, it's all part of my plan. Awesome. It's so orchestrated.
So we were talking a little bit before, and I mean, I know we have a lot of podcast listeners, so unfortunately you guys can't visually see everything, but you definitely want to check Karen, her out and her website to see some of the designs. But right now I'm looking at, is that the first design that you did? You're in an office building right now that you kind of sketched out?
Yes. I'm sitting in the conference room of the Continental. It's a 50-story residential tower in Herald Square. It's the first skyscraper that I did the interior design for. I was working for an architect called Costas Condylis when this project started. And this is like the first really big project that I did. And I'm, you know, still very friendly with the owners. So they lent me their space and I'm happy to be here. The building looks amazing. It's fully occupied. So we're all happy about it.
Awesome. So I'm really big on people's background. So how did you get into interior design?
So I think my mom is a fashion consultant. And so growing up, she was always influencing my aesthetic, I guess I would say. She has a very classic aesthetic, and that really made an impact on me and how I dress myself. And then it kind of extended into my surroundings. When I was at Pratt, I had initially got accepted to Pratt Institute as a graphics and fine arts major. And I was in that program for the first year, which is really like a foundation year. And while I was there, I had wandered into the interior design studio, and everything in there was so like straight and perfect and beautiful. I kind of had a light bulb moment where I was like, oh, I can actually like make 3D designs. It doesn't have to be like 2D on paper, and create spaces where people will live their lives and work and play. So I was really inspired by that, and I switched my major that day, like immediately.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, and that's cool that, you know, you recognized that early on, you know, following what you want, what you truly want to do. So I've always in, you know, and obviously I'm a creative too. I'm a visual type guy. And so I just always love like how, you know, colors and things kind of coordinate and, you know, like you mentioned, you know, putting stuff, you know, in a 3D realm. Talk about how you approach each job, each client. Like how do you start working with them?
So every project is different, right? I mean, I think that there is there's an aesthetic that I have that you will see throughout my work, but each project really has its own personality and soul. So I will usually start working from my surroundings. So for example, I'm working on a project right now in the Upper West Side, and the Upper West Side has a lot of classic historical elements. So I will, even though my design aesthetic is modern, like I will bring those elements in and curate them to the project. It is kind of a delicate process, and I try to maintain like true to my aesthetic while still bringing in elements from the surroundings. So I would say that my design is modern, but contextual to the area. Like, you know, I did a big home in Miami Beach, so that had a totally different aesthetic than what I'm doing here on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And it really is based on the property's surroundings and the personality of that project. But my design details and color palettes are true to me and my personal aesthetic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So, I mean, and that tells a lot, you know, doing the research around the area and kind of, you know, getting some of that personality of where that area is and incorporating.
Exactly.
It's pretty fascinating. Yeah, that's cool. So talk to me a little bit about like the differences between designing for, say, a multi-unit or, you know, a big office building as opposed to, say, just a single family home.
So right now my studio is doing half commercial projects, so like large scale multifamily, like rental condo type projects. And then the other half of the work that I do is for private residences. And the biggest difference there is how I would approach the budget. Budget is sensitive to every project, and it is really like, on the back end, on the front end, everything is pretty, but on the back end, the budget is probably the biggest focal point of the project, because we need to make sure that it's something that will be realized, right? So when I'm working for a commercial client, I tend to start at the top. So I will present what I feel is like the best and highest design, the most beautiful, the most luxurious materials, but I always have a little, you know, budget friendly option in my back pocket. And then we would scale back from there strategically. When I'm designing for a private homeowner, it's a little bit different. I would never show them something that did not fall within their budget, because the decisions tend to get made a little bit more emotionally, and it's not so budget driven. And if I would show somebody something that falls well outside their budget, and they fell in love with it, and at the end of the day, they've blown their whole budget, it doesn't, you know, like I would never want to do that to somebody. And it certainly wouldn't look good for me. So that's in terms of design, that's the biggest difference.
Yeah, I would, you know, and especially now, like with designing, you know, we've got more and more people that are remote working at home and stuff. And so
yeah.
Have you seen like an uptick in people doing redesigns and remodels? I mean, they're spending more time maybe building out, you know, home offices and stuff like that. Have you seen stuff like
that?
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say within the first 30 days of this year, we're fully booked with home renovations through September. So a lot of people in the last quarter of 2020 were hesitant to pull the trigger and make home purchases. And I think, you know, now that we have the vaccine and people feel a little bit more confident and comfortable, they went ahead in January and February of 2021 and pulled the trigger on those home purchases, and now, of course, wanting to renovate. Every single one will include a home office and a classroom setting for their children.
Yeah.
It is something that's not, you know, my services as an interior designer, I feel they went from being a luxury to a necessity like overnight. Which is really interesting, because typically I feel interior designers are looked at as providing, you know, like a very high-end luxury service. Like, people won't engage with an interior designer unless they have, you know, a huge scope of work and like the means to do so. But I find that you're, you know, I don't know how to say this nicely, like more like mid-range home buyers, they are looking to the help of professionals because they know that their homes have to accommodate, you know, working from home and teaching their children potentially.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, I'm a firm believer. I mean, your surroundings kind of dictate like your feelings, right? You're like how you feel. Like if you're, you know, in clutter or, you know, things are just not, you know, I mean, studies show this, right?
And absolutely.
So that makes a lot of sense because especially, you know, now the kids are home and they're learning and stuff. And so creating a space where they can stay focused, you know, I think that's pretty important.
Absolutely. And I think that in New York and, you know, any place where you have a lot of like busy, like a busy population, I think a lot of times what happens is that people will move into an apartment or they'll buy an apartment, but everybody is working, going to school, they're out of the house, nobody's home. So, you know, there aren't sometimes like very thoughtful decisions made about their surroundings. And now, because people are spending so much more time in their homes, the home designs that I am doing are highly curated, highly detailed, and highly stylized to people's lifestyles. So, you know, it's interesting where you see people who are like, oh yeah, we bought this place like 10 years ago, but we've been so busy, we never like painted the walls. So, and now they're being super specific about what they want. So it has created an interesting need for home programming.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of, with the pandemic and everything, you know, a lot of industry changes, a lot of things going on. So what is, in your industry, what is the outlook, you know, from 2021 on? Like, what are you seeing happen?
So I actually think that there has become more opportunity to work on projects that are not local to your, like, to your location. So I'm in New York, and because of this pandemic, and because we have normalized now working remotely, I just finished designing a small development project in San Francisco, where normally I would love to have flown out there a couple of times. I didn't get the chance to do that. I probably will in the next month. But, you know, I'm now looking at projects in Austin, in South Florida, another one in San Francisco. And I feel as though my clients are less concerned that I'm not physically like living in that location, which is great. I think it opens up a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
And no, it opens up opportunity for me as an employer to work with talent that's local to those areas. So I don't have to only hire people that are living in New York.
That's great. And that's a great outlook to have. You know, I talk to people, you know, a lot of different industries have changed, but look at the opportunities, you know, so in the movie industry, right? Whereas before, and this is the other part of the company, you know, that I work in, is that you had to be in LA. If you were given a pitch meeting, like, you need to be there. If you're an actor and you're auditioning, like, you need to be in LA or New York to go to that audition. Whereas now, like, you could be anywhere. Like, I mean, because everything is being sent the same way and in many other industries, you know. And so always look for that positive side or see that opportunity. And it's good that, you know, that you started noticing that you can now do designs anywhere, and you can hire and do, you know, essentially project management from a remote location. So just pivoting, you know, is gonna be really important.
Absolutely. Yes, I think that in terms of being a business owner, being nimble and accepting constant change, like, that's already part of it, right? Like, if you're a business owner, you have to think on your feet and you have to wear a lot of different hats all the time. So I think that any savvy business owner sees the positives here, and there are many of them.
So,
you know, I,
yeah. Go ahead. You're well,
I mean, maybe you were going to like lead with this question, but I think that this movement in the real estate market has pushed urban city dweller like out into more rural areas, creating a lot of job opportunities out there. I think people are just looking to get more bang for their buck, especially people that are coming from, you know, crowded cities. Like they spent a year locked in their apartments and they're like, you know, no more, we're not going to do that. But they are bringing their designers to their new location. So it's interesting to be able to work in these different markets. And I think that that's great. I think it just sets the table for expansion and new ideas and meeting new people, working with different designers. Like you just go to so much more. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. So we get a lot of you know, CEOs and entrepreneurs and business people watching the, you know, our program. So in closing, so we're coming up at the top here, if there was one piece of business advice that you would give, whether it be somebody in your field or somebody that is starting a business, what would that be?
So in my field specifically, because we're dealing with design, I think that the most important thing would be to protect your intellectual property, protect your design work, and to make sure that the client and the end user understands what that protection means. Like, you should always go into a situation with a contract, with terms, with an outline of responsibilities, and really make sure that everybody understands what the deliverables are, because that can go sideways pretty quickly in the design field. In any creative field, you know, yeah, you have to protect yourself. So I think that that's important to put out there. I had a really bad experience with intellectual property, and I'm fighting to get the rights to my own design work back. So I think it's important to kind of put the word out there a little bit. And that would be my advice to anybody starting a new business, for sure. Get yourself a lawyer.
I absolutely. That's so good. You know, especially because obviously working in the creative field, protect your IP, making sure that you've got an attorney in place, you're protecting your IP if you're a creative. And also too, you know, making sure that everybody, the client and the people that you're working with, are all on the same page and getting all that stuff. So this way everybody understands which direction that project is going. It's really, really great advice. Karen, thank you for coming on today's episode.
Thank you guys so much for having me on your show. It was so much fun to talk to you. I'd love to come back again. And you know, maybe when you're in New York one day, we can hang out.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, make sure you mash that like button and subscribe so you get the latest episodes. And if somebody else needs to hear it, please do them that favor and share it.